And it's going to be from Psalm 5. It's a little lengthy. I decided to read the whole thing, Psalm 5, 1 through 12. That will be our scripture reading for today, so please bear with me in its length. Give ear to my word, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Give heed to your voice of my cry, to the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For to you I will pray. My voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct it to you, and I will look up. For you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness, nor shall evil dwell with you. The boastful shall not stand in your sight. You hate all workers of iniquity. You shall destroy those who speak falsehood. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful man. But as for me, I will come into your house in the multitude of your mercy. In fear of you, I will worship toward your holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before my face, for there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is destruction. Their throat is an open tomb. They flatter with their tongue. Pronounce them guilty, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against you. But let all those rejoice who put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy because you define them. Let those also who love your name be joyful in you. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor you will surround him as with a shield. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of this scripture. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Before we get started with today's message, the last couple weeks Jack talked about his message, and he talked about getting a mission statement, developing a life strategy, and I just want to follow up to see if anyone's been working on that. You don't have to show your hands necessarily, but continue to work on those things. It's important for us to have a life strategy, and as Jack pointed out, he mentioned Luke 19:10, his Jesus statement was, "The Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost." And John 10:10 also says, "I have come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly." So follow up on those things. It's a hard thing to do. Some of us that aren't disciplined in those areas, that haven't worked in those areas, it's very difficult for us to take time to work on a mission statement, take time to think of the things that have defined us in God's eyes. They're relevant every day. They're relevant as we talk about today's message. And today's message is defying gravity. Let it rise. And I thought, well, man, what do you mean by defying gravity? How do we stay up in a world that's dragging us down? How many of you guys know that if we give them an opportunity, the world's going to drag us down? If we give our friends, if we give our family opportunity, they're going to drag us down. Then let it rise. What do we want to let rise? We want to let ourselves rise. We want to let our soul, our being, our heart, let our minds lift up and raise up, our spirit, our attitude, our worship, everything we do. You know, the worship sometimes is focused by the music we play or the songs we sing, the number of instruments there are or are not, and there's all different things. When you worship God and when you come and sing praise and worship, are you coming to seek Him here? I talked a few weeks ago at Ground Zero, and I said it's amazing how many times we can show up for church, for Ground Zero, for whatever it is, meetings, fellowship with one another, and we come with a mindset going, okay, who's going to be there? Who's not going to be there? Ooh, they're going to be there. Ooh, they're not going to be there. I don't know if I'll go. And the last person we expect to see when we go to do godly things is God sometimes. I'm just being honest. Oh, man, they're going to play. They're playing that music. It's crazy stuff. There's God in the middle of that music. It's to the young people. It's to the young adults. It's to the older adults. It's to old folks. It's to everybody. There's God in the middle of all different kinds of music. There's God in the middle of old hymns that some people don't like and understand. So we want to lift ourselves up and lift ourselves out of that. We're going to take a look today at Matthew chapter 14. If you'll turn with me in your Bible to Matthew 14. It's a familiar story. And when I came in today, I'm going to tell off on a couple of you young people that said, "Oh, you're preaching today." Yeah. I thought, cool. They said, "We get out early." Oh, okay. I don't like to go on and on, generally speaking. I've got my points. I've got God's message, and I'm going to present it in a way that I think He wants me to, and that I hope and pray is relevant to you. So let's turn over to Matthew chapter 14. It's going to start out in verse 25, actually, and it's talking about Jesus walking on the water just after He fed the 5,000. And that's our first way to defy gravity. In chapter, or verse 25, it says, "Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It is a ghost.' And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid.' And Peter answered Him and said, 'Lord, if it is You, command me to come to You on the water.'" That's a pretty bold statement in itself. "Jesus, if that's You, let me walk on the water with You." So He said, "Come." And Peter, when he had come out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out to the Lord, "Lord, save me." He walked on the water and then got afraid and said, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out His hand and caught him and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped Him, saying, "Truly, You are the Son of God." If we let our focus down and our guard down for a minute, the world is going to take over. And that's exactly what happened to Peter. "Jesus, if that's You, call My name and I will walk on the water." Okay, come on. Oh, this is cool. Uh-oh. He took his focus off Jesus, who he was heading to, and he looked around and saw his surroundings. And immediately he became afraid. And we do that. We have a lot of things going on in our life. But he directed the disciples to get in the boat, go on the other side. They did that. Then a storm came up. Then he walked on the water, and they were afraid. When we begin to take our eyes off Jesus Christ, being the leader, being the head of our lives, and directing our very path and our every path, the minute we do that, we're going to sink. My number one point today: how do we defy gravity? We have faith, and we get faith and are able to rise above through following Jesus Christ and believing in Him, and we don't focus on the stuff that drags us down. Hebrews 11:6 tells us, "Without faith, it is impossible to please Him." Now I know, in this group, some of you are dealing with storms in your life right now. I don't know what they are, but I know there's a lot of issues out there in all kinds of people right now. Losing jobs, drug addictions, alcohol, sexual issues. And by the way, this isn't just a teen issue. These are adults. These are married adults dealing with sexual issues, not just our teenagers. At my work, you know, we talk about the unemployment, and several people, as I understand it, have lost their job. That's a tough storm out there. That's a tough storm to deal with. I went to Houston last week for a meeting with my work and found out next week I get to terminate 36 associates in my building. That's not a good place to be. That's not a storm I want to face. And I called on God and I said, "God, I want You to help me deal with this." Some of these people have other jobs. Not a big deal. Some of these people, this is their job. Their parents, mothers and fathers, single parents, just single individuals on their own. Not a good place to be. But when we call on God to help us through these things, the Bible tells us in many places, we don't have to worry about that stuff. Now, we need to be responsible and go seek a job and not sit there going, "God, please, if this job's for me, just drop it in my lap." We still have to pursue things, and we're going to go through things, and there's going to be doors closed. There's going to be doors open, and we have to press on. We do not have to sink spiritually like others, worrying about circumstances of our everyday life. And we do that by having faith in Jesus Christ. In this day and age, we're faced with a lot of pressures, as I mentioned. We also hear about peer pressure, and we associate that with teenagers, young adults. Pressures to do things, say things, and act in ways that are not consistent with our Christian behavior. Now, I know, since we're all sitting in church, none of us have ever misbehaved, and we've never done anything against God's will, and we've never had to do these things that are inconsistent with Christian behavior. Right? Wrong. I know most of us have probably come from some point in our life that got us through those things. Some of us more than others. But we've come through a lot of things. I know when you were baptized, you gave a great testimony about things you have battled and things you have come through. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ can do for believers. He can bring you through those. And you may still face battles. And you know what? We're going to be here. And we're going to be here for you. And that was a beautiful testimony, by the way, of things that God has showed you love that you haven't seen and felt before. Those are memorable things for people out here observing that also. So those words are always great to hear. Teens and young adults have a lot of pressures going on. We hear about the peer pressure. For our young adults and our teenagers right now, it's more than ever. They are bombarded with more things on TV and the radio having to do with sexual issues, alcohol. It's amazing to turn on TV and watch some reality shows and what they portray. And there's so many homosexual activities going on and things that teenagers are doing. And they're promoting that on TV and seeing, oh my gosh, I'm a guy. Which guy will I pick to date? Oh my gosh, I don't know. Whew. You know, it's crazy the things that are being put on TV and shoved in front of our young people and shoved in front of our face. You know, if it's not shoved in front of my face, I wouldn't know about those things. You look at it and go, well, this is crazy. You just keep watching it like a bad wreck. Thinking, oh, this is sickening. Ooh, and you just keep watching it. Stuck on those things. A common thread, though, is our desire to be accepted by those in our own age group. That covers all of us. But it's most important to our young people. Proverbs 22, verse 1 says, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, loving favor rather than silver or gold. God desires us to pursue good character rather than material things. And I've heard it said before, God calls us to worship God, love people, and use stuff. Of course, being of the world, what do? We tend to worship people, love stuff, and use God. Our focus has to be on the things He wants, pursuing good character. How do we defy gravity? Number two, we choose good character in ourselves. We choose good character to keep us on track and stay focused. Now, I don't want to be the bearer of bad news here. Sometimes we can be drugged down by our friends. Okay? And sometimes those friends are our Christian friends and they're our church friends. Okay? Now, I know nobody in here would ever drag down another brother or sister in Christ with junk talk, but in other churches, that stuff happens. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Awake to righteousness and do not sin. How important is that to realize that? Do not be deceived, for evil company corrupts good habits. I'm a good guy, here's a bad guy, we walk together, and soon you're supposed to be lighting the way, but they've got a light over here, and they talk louder than you, and they say, no, over here. And you say, no, over here, I got a light, man. No, over here. Okay. And you go over there. Evil company corrupts good habits. Well, I'm going to date this unchristian guy or girl, and I'm going to bring them over to our side, and they're going to be Christians. Right. More people have fallen down that path than I care to think about. And guess what? It's not as easy to convert someone to Christianity as it is for an evildoer to convert somebody to do their evil ways or get them out of their way. Ever have a Christian brother or sister drag you down the wrong path? I've shared it, at least in our youth group. I've done some things in my life in the past when I was young. I was a teenager, and they weren't good things. And I was introduced to those things by friends of ours in our teenage group, in our youth group, when I was going to church. So you mean to tell me a Christian friend drug you down a non-Christian path? That's right. There I went. They hooked me. And thank God I didn't have to deal with them long, and I was able to get away from that and build my own character, my own identity outside of that. Thank God. As I understand it, now they're deep into drugs and having a very rough life. And I'm just glad they're hundreds of miles away from me. Proverbs 22, 24, and 25 says, "Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go, lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your soul." You ever spend time with an angry person and start to pick up their habits and their ways and their snappy responses? And by snappy, I don't mean good and they're cool. I mean snappy as in whoops. That's worth reading again. "Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go, lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your soul." The Bible tells us continually also, be aware of those that try and drag us down the wrong path. Be careful when we go to counsel an evildoer. Why? Because we may go with them instead of going on our way and or bringing them with us. How do we defy gravity and let it rise? Number three, we choose the right friends, allowing the right people to soak in and let it rise within us. We think we need to slow down. Everybody, well, they want to talk to me. Let me tell you, some people, you don't need to slow down. You need to step on the gas pedal and move on past them. Several years ago, Delisa gave me a story I want to share with you guys, and this is important to remember. Actually, it was about 3.5 years ago she sent it to me. Some of you guys have heard this. Life is a theater. Invite your audience carefully. Not everyone, first two words, not everyone is holy enough and healthy enough to have a front row seat in our lives. There are some people in your life that need to be loved from a distance. Worth repeating. There are some people in your life that need to be loved from a distance. It's amazing what you can accomplish when you let go, or at least minimize your time spent with draining, negative, incompatible, not going anywhere relationships, friendships, fellowships. Observe the relationships around you. Pay attention to which ones lift you up and which ones lean on you. Which ones encourage you and which ones discourage you. Which ones are on a path of growth uphill and which ones are going downhill. When you leave certain people, do you feel better or feel worse? Which ones always have drama? You ever see those people? Hey, how you doing? Man. Oh, you, right then, you, they don't even have to utter a word. Just, okay, well, I'm sorry I asked. You know, and it's important to be honest, and we need to ask sometimes. You know, there's the other times when we say, how are you doing? And people say, I'm doing fine. No, really. Really, how are you doing? Well, to be honest, I'm not doing so well. And those times are honest and necessary also. Which ones always have drama? Some of our young people in the world, not specifically to our group, but some of the young people in school, to our teachers, bless you, to our teachers, you've seen young people, and they always have drama, or how are you, and it's always negative. And we're trying something right now to say, bring me a praise report of some sort. Tell me something good in your life, because every time I see you, it's bad news. It is bad news every time I see you, and there's got to be some good. And those people are in trouble, and we need to encourage them and lift them up, because they're in trouble. Because they don't see goodness. They just see the things that they hear and are trained about, and they don't see the goodness of God. And we need to encourage them to seek the goodness of God. The more you seek God and the things of God, the more you seek quality. The more you seek, not just the hand of God, but the face of God, the more you seek things honorable, the more you seek growth, peace of mind, love and truth around you, the easier it will become for you to decide who gets to sit in the front row and who should be moved to the balcony of your life. You cannot change the people around you, but you can change the people you are around. Ask God for wisdom and discernment and choose wisely the people who sit in the front row of your life. Again, sometimes you have to let those people be in your life from a distance, and you have to love them from a distance. How do we defy gravity? Point number four. We let God be our guide. If I don't want people dragging me down, how do I do that? We let God be our guide. And we look to Him. We don't want to fall away from God. And that's what defying gravity is all about. God, I don't want to fall away from you. I don't want to fall away from you. I want to stay connected. And we do that by choosing good character, choosing the right friends, letting God be our guide. And as Peter found out, we have faith in Jesus Christ and we keep our focus on Him. In closing, I'm going to read a scripture from John and Romans, actually. Romans 6, you don't have to turn there, but you can if you want. Again, it's a lengthy one, but I feel it's great when we talk about letting it rise, defying gravity, and we talk about staying above the world that can drag us down. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. We should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be gone, done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over Him. For the death that He died to sin once for all. But the life that He lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. It's important that we realize if we live with Him in death, we live with Him in life, in a resurrection. John 8 is the final thing we'll read. And in reading this, just feel the power. The music this morning was powerful. The only scripture I didn't mark in my Bible. John chapter 8. I guess that's because I typed it right here. I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Shall have the light of life. Jesus Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. We know that. As Christians, as believers in Christ, we know that He is risen. So we need to rise up as Christians. Live with a purpose and be inspired to be Christ-like each and every day in our actions and the things we do, not being drugged down by the things of the world. And because Jesus Christ defied gravity and He let it rise, the same Spirit lives in us. And because that same Spirit lives in us, death has no victory in our lives. Will you join us today in the battle that we all face to build His kingdom today? Will you guys join in that? We have a battle to fight each and every day to build His kingdom. The kingdom of Jesus Christ. Through the young people, through the teens, through the young adults, through people my age, whatever grade or age that is, from our seniors. We have a battle every day to win. From the youngest to the oldest. And Jesus Christ calls us to that battlefield to help Him build His kingdom. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity today to defy gravity and let it rise. God, we thank you for the opportunity to have choices. God, we have choices to choose our friends, to choose our behavior and our character, choose to have faith in you. And God, we have a choice to follow you or not. And to seek you out. And to be our guide in the things we do. God, we want to let the glory of the Lord rise among us, as the song says. Father, today we call all believers. We call them to the battlefield. We call on them to fight the enemy. God, we want to have our mission statement and our vision statement to save that which was lost, like your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, let the joy of the Lord rise among us. God, as a people, as individuals, as families, as groups of friends, call on them to answer the call. Right now, just pray to God where you are, what He would have you do, how He would have you change your life to be a Christ follower, to be in that battlefield. If you feel a calling to serve Jesus Christ in a manner in this church, or come to a deeper commitment in service to this church, right where you are, just stand up. You don't need to look around. Just stand up. If you feel Jesus Christ is calling you to do more for this church, just stand up where you are. Whether it's participate, volunteer, you just stand up where you are to help us fight that battle in the church and in the kingdom and in the community. Father, for those that stood up, we give you thanks and glory for them, God, for the service, the deeper commitment they're having. God, we just want to pour everything out we have into worshiping you. Whether it's the praise and worship and music, God, that we be in the moment and not do it. God, we all know that being at church and doing church work is not the same as doing the work of the church. God, you call us to do the work of the church. God, we just ask that the glory of the Lord rise among us today. God, that we have excitement with us when we walk in this building. Not thinking, oh, who's going to be there, who's not going to be there, God. Oh, Lord, what songs are they going to sing or not sing today? What instruments will be playing or not playing today? God, let us be in the moment. Let us be in you. We don't want to do church work. We want to do the work of the church, God. We want to be in the moment and experience you in the things we do. People, I'm telling you, there is a different feeling in your heart when you are in the moment and you are serving the Lord Jesus Christ. For those of you that stood, you may be seated. We thank you for that opportunity to step up and be in the battlefield. If there's anybody out there that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ, we want to give you the opportunity to know Jesus Christ. And today, all I want you to do is lift up your hand. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ and you want to know more about it, or you want to give your life to Jesus Christ today, just lift up your hand where you sit. I'm going to pray for you. I'll meet with you after service if there's anybody here. Don't want to give anybody the opportunity or miss the opportunity to have people come to know Jesus Christ. What a life-changing event that is. God, as we close today, we just give you glory and honor in the things we do. God, we ask for protection over Jack and Jen, peace over them as they enjoy some time away. God, we just ask you to take each one of us out this week, God. Give us a mission statement, a vision for what you would have us do. God, we just ask that the glory of the Lord rise among us.